them come. This is their fate.
All right. Welcome back to the House of Wolves podcast. I am your host, Deontay, here with my near and dear friends, Jalen and Josh. Today we got quite a bit to talk about. A lot of stuff happening, a lot of stuff going on. Forza coming to PS5, Kingdom Come Deliverance, making good on the Pro PS5 Pro promise. Fantastic Four new trailer, graphics cards selling out left and right. Battlefield finally getting a new entry, at least some form of fashion, is coming in April. And then we also got some other stuff to talk about as well. But a lot going on, so it's going to be a good one. Stick around and enjoy. But before we get started, per usual, Jalen, Josh, tell the people how you been, what you've been up to, what you've been doing, how's life going, what you've been playing, and just overall, how you feeling. Talk to the people.
Yeah, so I'll kick it off. My week was, I had a pretty long weekend. I ended up getting sick at the end of last week. Just, I guess, a normal cold. Me and my daughter usually get it together. So we were down for like a day and a half. Yep. But then got better. And then I also had like Monday off. So I had a pretty long weekend. During that time, just mostly home, taking care of my daughter. We did get to step out a little bit to enjoy a little bit of the sun that we got. Because this week, the weather actually is been raining a lot and very windy, but it's still cold. So we got a little bit of sun, but now we're back inside as the seasons are, I guess, starting to change or trying to figure out what they're going to do.
Yep.
Beyond that, as far as media, I got to play a little bit, a couple games. So I told you about Ace Combat 7 last week. I didn't get a whole bunch of time to play it, but I got to try out a first couple levels of that, and it's pretty fun. Because, like, you know, when you play a game like Halo or something like that, the flying is always super streamlined. Like, it's super easy. It handles just like a car or something like that. But planes are very different than cars. And so when you play like a different game that's trying to simulate more realistic flying, like a Battlefield or something like that.
Right.
It was always difficult for me to learn how to fly planes in Battlefield because people shoot at me and I'm trying to learn how to fly this helicopter and stuff like that. Yeah. So whereas Ace Combat, I mean, it's still a combat based game, but they spend a lot of time teaching you how to fly the game, fly the plane. And it's pretty fun. Like actually learning how you can like go forward and backwards and up and down and also like rotate all like separately from each other. So that means you can, once you get good at it, you can fly upside down. You can do like 90 degree turns. You can fly, turn off your engine and do like a 360 and spin around. So it's very cool actually learning the controls, even though I would say Ace Combat is super, it's still arcadey, like it's not a full simulation game. Like you ain't got to worry about all the 2,000 different buttons on in the airplane cockpit. I guess that's the next step. Some point in the future, I'll play Microsoft Flight Simulator. But for now, just learning how planes function and stuff like that and getting used to the cameras and stuff. Yeah, so far it's pretty fun. It's Bandai Namco published. I forgot the developer though, but they've been making these games for a long time. The story is kind of like anime, like military anime story, but so far so good. I haven't seen anything I don't like. The music is pretty good. Like you fly in the plane and it's pretty calm, like I guess like orchestra music when it's no combat, and then you know the combat start and then they crank it up or something like that. So I guess if you ever seen what's the Tom Cruise movie?
Top Gun.
Top Gun, yeah, that type of thing where it goes from classical into like more action packed or like not, I guess not rock, but you know electric guitars and stuff like that. But music's pretty good, and graphically it looks really good. I think this was their first Unreal Engine 4 game back when it came out, but they were able to like You know, the clouds are very good. Also, like the sunset, hitting the clouds, hitting the water, hitting your plane, everything looks perfect. And while you're doing the combat, it adds to the experience.
You playing on
So
PC,
overall,
right?
yeah, I'm playing it on PC, but
Okay.
it's on other stuff. It's been out for a while. I think it came out in like 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's got
Okay.
a fair bit of DLC. I haven't bought any of the DLC because I don't know the differences between planes. So I'm just
So
doing what I got.
is playing related more so than anything, like not story stuff?
Well, there's a story campaign where you have
I'm talking
characters,
about the DLC.
oh, DLC. I don't know. I know that they have a Top Gun DLC where you can have the Top Gun planes,
Oh,
but I
okay.
think most of the DLC is different plane packs from different eras or different type of planes and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. I did like the whole new Microsoft simulator where you got re rescue jobs and all that stuff now, where you can like do certain basically jobs in there. They added what some of these jobs that the people do, even putting out fires and stuff. So I thought that was really cool. So yeah, I mean, it's a resurgence of the plane games. Okay, anything else?
No, I'm gonna keep messing around with that, try to figure out how the customization works because you can change plane parts and stuff like that. But yeah, pretty good. Game. It does have multiplayer. I doubt that I'm gonna even give it a try because I'm not trying to get blown up.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's pretty fun. Other than that, just my normal free to play games. Jump into my dailies. Play some more Marvel. I think we're gonna expect a new character sometime soon. Maybe at like the end of the month. But yeah, that's my week.
Okay. What about you, Jalen? What you been up to? What you been doing?
Shoot, just working out, playing a game, nothing too exciting. I think this past week, I don't feel like I had like anything like big go on or anything like that. Still just trying to go ahead and hit my 183 days. So yesterday I was at day 20. Tomorrow morning, yeah, tomorrow morning I'll be at day 21. And just keep it pushing, so on and so forth. So that I've been trying to hoop a little bit more. I know I keep going back and forth. I mean, I've been on this podcast for years. Y'all catch me hooping frequently, and then I stop, and then I go back and forth. So, but I actually went to go hoop like 2 weeks in a row, so only like once a week or whatever. But I think I probably hooped picked up a basketball and shot like 3 times since the start of the year, maybe. So, I need to do a little bit more than that to kind of keep my body in shape. They acclimated instead of just weightlifting and stuff. But I registered for an 8K run. I finally did that. I think it was like Thursday or I think it was like last Thursday or something. Did that. So we all situate in that regard. So March 23rd, I gotta start prepping, making sure I'm good, and then going there and you know what I'm saying, being moving at breakneck speeds.
Trying to beat those,
hopefully I'll
you're
catch the
trying to speed
graphic
run
again.
those Sonic levels, huh?
Yeah, trying to personal record, bro. Get the PRs, bro. PRs, 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 man.
Can't lose those
PRs,
coins.
get
I
up.
got you, I got you.
You
Gots to
know,
protect
in the old Sonic
the
game, you get 9 minutes and 59 seconds. After that, when I hit 10 minutes, you die.
You just fall off the
Yeah, I'm like, dang, bro, you can't be on the stage for, you know, 10 minutes. You might do me, your dude, just slide down it. But nah, so that. Game wise, I haven't really been playing much. I've been spending a little bit of time on Metaphor. I think I'm pretty much at the end of the game now. So I think I'm on like September 24th or something like that.
Okay.
So I mean, I still got the little back at the 100% it. I'm trying to follow it as closely as possible. It's funny because I'd be trying to do certain things on there, and I started following it a little bit later. And so I didn't probably use my time right in some places.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to hurry up and do all this stuff, but I didn't have enough time to. And then I scroll down at one point, there's like, yeah, do this dungeon. But I'm like, and that dungeon ain't open. And then I seen I had to get somebody at rank 6 with a little confidants or a little relationship thing with them.
And I was just like, dang, so I need to go spend my day doing that. So I had to backtrack a couple of days one time. And I was like, I don't really need to do this, but I was like, I want to because I'm finna hit a critical event. So let me just try to make sure, you know, just in case or whatever. So, and then some people are saying like some of the stuff or whatever, like when you fight other people, you don't necessarily have to do it. So I've been trying to like make up time, and I see why they have that walkthrough the way they do, because certain people not available on certain days. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to hang out with a bro on this day. He's like, you can't hang out with me today, bro. You're supposed to hang out with me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So now I got to figure out how to make up time in that day. And then bro available the next day, and I'm just looking like, bro, now I got to do some BS this day, you know, stuff like that. So kind of running into that. I ain't making too much of a big deal about it, but thoroughly enjoying the game. I did hit a tad bit of burnout with the game because of some of the things. I can tell it was like it get a little repetitious. But I did like how they did the story at this one point in the game. And I just thought it was all kind of, it's pretty cool. It was different. It wasn't like no crazy Persona 5 little pool type thingy. Still got to see what's going to happen next. But I did think that the story is much better than Persona 5. So that's still going to be my benchmark because that was the main one that I beat. So other than that, though, everything's smooth. Hopefully I can beat it this week, and then I have updates and stuff on it. So,
okay, cool. For me, just to keep it short, I really ain't been up to much. I've been watching, I told you I was watching those Netflix shows. So I was watching The Night Agent, and then I just finished The Recruit. And that was, That's pretty much what I've been doing. I ain't really been playing no games. Only game I've been playing was I ain't been playing nothing. I ain't turned the game on in a hot second. I played a little bit of Spider-Man 2 over the weekend. But mostly I just been watching TV. So I've still been watching that Marshall show, which is ridiculous. But entertaining to throw on in the background noise, and I just been trying to prep stuff, so been really busy on the other side of things versus playing any games lately. So I'm gonna try to get some games in this weekend. I don't know what I'm gonna play, but I'm still trying to figure that out. I did buy Skull and Bones. It was $10. I was like, I might as well. Don't think I ever play it, but at the same time I did play the beta, and I did play, I think I just played the beta, and it wasn't terrible, but it's just not the greatest ship fighting game, and until they, I want to see what they kind of change and update it, but I've been hearing a lot of same that it's not really that great, so I'm gonna give it a shot at some point, but it was, like I said, it was only $10 for a physical copy, but why not. What else? That's it. The kids been good. It's been interesting trying to find like little activities for them to do. They really into trains right now, so we're trying to get them like train activities, go see some trains, train museum. We took them to the library the other day, and they're just hanging out in the library. Because my kids actually like to read, which is surprising, but they do enjoy reading a lot. So we just went to the library. They read some books and they hung out in the little kids area. So they had some fun. So it's good. But I be feeling like I'd be like need to get them out the house more. And that's kind of one of those things where you're like, oh man, when are you gonna get the time for it? And now that I, you know, have like a whole work from home position, it's kind of like I don't even get out the house that much. So making a effort to get out the house more is very, very important. So we've been trying to do that, but I always been doing that, but it's now it's like even more of a focus for me simply due to the fact that I'm always at home. So anyways, I ain't been doing much though. Now we got some stuff to talk about, and I've been definitely keeping my ear to the ground on all this news, man, because it's kind of crazy, all this stuff that happened. But we finna get into it now, talk through some of this stuff, what it means, and go from there. But yeah, let's start off with our first topic. It's probably one of the bigger ones that we're going to be talking about is Xbox sending Forza Horizon 5 on over to that PS5. You know those three pillars, right? Halo, Gears, and Forza. One of them is gone. Forza is gone. Forza is now on the PlayStation 5. We already knew this was like, it's not, you know how everybody knew something was going to happen? Like, this is what's going to happen next, but you don't feel like it's real until it actually happened. I think the Forza going over was the realness of it that everybody had to kind of come to terms with. We're no longer in this era of exclusivity, and we're not, at least not on the Microsoft side. They're literally third party in regards to how they approach gaming now. So I think once people finally get come to terms with the change, it was very interesting. But I'm going to stop right there before I go into my whole spiel and kind of ask, what are y'all thoughts on the change, and what do y'all see on the internet? What's the chatter looking like out there? Or if y'all seen anything about this move?
Honestly, no. I didn't even know Forza was already out.
It's not out yet.
Much about it.
Not out. Oh, okay. Yet, but it got announced.
But as far as like Forza going to PlayStation, I think, like we've been talking about for a while, it's inevitable. All the franchises are going to show up. Forza has been their, I guess, more successful franchise over the last generation or two.
Yes.
Constantly putting out good games, constantly like probably the best game in this genre. And even with like Gran Turismo coming out, Gran Turismo 7, I think.
Yeah.
I think it did okay, but it wasn't as popular as I think they wanted. So it coming over, Forza solidifies itself overall as probably the best racing game franchise. Mm-hmm. It leaving the Xbox exclusivity, I personally don't think it's too bad of a thing. Right now, Xbox is trying to expand, and that is just going to help them. They're going to get more money. They're going to get more fans. Less people buying Xboxes, sure, but more money going, well, hopefully more money going towards Xbox. And personally, I don't see it as a problem for right now. It's a little experiment thing, but there's no saying that it can't ever go back to just being an exclusive or have some sort of
exclusive window or something.
Exclusive window on Xbox. Maybe not now, maybe, you know, far in the future, next generation. Once Xbox has the lead, or they feel like they have a good foothold again, they can always pull those franchises back over to their end. But right now they're, you know, playing in friendly waters. So I haven't seen too much about it. I think people are getting more used to it. But I think Sea of Thieves, I think they were saying it's top selling PlayStation game when they came out. Or yeah, at least for a while. Yeah, so I expect to see the same thing with Forza.
Yeah, as my expectation is that it's still going to do well. I think a lot of people are excited, even if they don't want to admit it, that they got another one of those type of games. Especially if you're big in racing, this is probably the biggest one with the most, probably the most active community, which is the really great. I mean, that's really where you kind of, these things live or die, is they, where you want that community. And then they kind of announced the additional Horizon Realms. I don't know what that means, but it's kind of, I'm assuming it's just their mainstay of multi-platform approach to the game now, where it's like, it's going to have some type of unique, almost Fortnite-esque build to it, because it's called Realms. So I'm assuming there's just multitude of different maps and places you can go, but the engine itself isn't going to be doing much of a change as we continue on. I don't think it's a point anymore for Forza Horizon 5. Forza Horizon to continue to restart people's progress. I think it might just be one of those things like Fortnite. You know what I mean? So I think that's what Realms is going to be. And I think Forza Horizon 5 going over to the PS5 is to kind of get people introduced to the idea of what Forza is. And then once that Realms comes out, that's what they're looking for. Xbox is also doing the same thing that, you know, Sony is trying to look for, a live service game that feeds the masses and everybody wants to play and is a big money machine, because that's all they care about. But they're just doing it in a different way. Anything to add, Jalen?
Nah, I ain't got nothing to add about Forza. So.
Yeah.
He waiting on Halo to be on PlayStation.
Yeah, I heard they...
they ain't gonna have no excuse.
They got...
if it ain't free, I ain't playing it.
I heard they ain't got...
PlayStation will get free games. You pay for them.
You said what?
I said PlayStation don't get free games. You gotta go to GameStop, get your copy, or buy a digital.
Yeah,
and I ain't bought a game for PlayStation since.
It's been a hot minute.
I bought Shadow the Hedgehog. I bought Shadow Generations. I bought that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, I ain't even. Yeah.
Well, they are saying that there's not that much of an audience for racing games. So I just think it's highly untrue, but. The fact now is that at least, you know, they have another option of what they want to play and where they want to play it. I'm hoping for, and this is kind of going into the technical side of it, I'm hoping that they do have cross progression where you can sign into your Microsoft account and continue your progress, because I am interested in what the PS5 Pro port will look like, whether they do more ray tracing, whether they do... I'm just looking for more ray tracing in games, basically. I always want to be where I can play it the best, and I don't... Honestly, I'm in a space again where I just don't feel like playing on PC, so the Pro being the most powerful of the consoles is kind of still like the go-to at this point for anything gaming-related. So I'm just interested in seeing if they actually take advantage of the Pro. If they actually decide to up the res, or like I said, up the ray tracing or whatever they decide to do. I did play a lot of Forza on my Xbox. I don't expect them to let me license it over there unless I buy the game again. So I'm not expecting to have another copy of the game. Do not expect that if you're a Game Pass member, but it will be potentially for me to be able to have some cross progression or something of that nature. But again, that might get muddy too, because you got to buy the... Well, matter of fact, it won't get muddy because the PS5 version will come with all the DLC, which is great. So, but yeah, that's kind of one of those pillars for Xbox. It's tough to see it go like that, but at the same time, I already knew that this is how this is supposed to work. This is how this is going to work in the future for them. I do hope that they have a plan on how they want to approach making their consoles, you know, still, I don't know, desirable, because they are going to be shedding a lot of their ability to say, hey, we got exclusive games over here. We got things that they don't have. They have to now, you know, substitute that for real value. And that real value is obviously going to be trying to come from Xbox Play Anywhere, from cross progression, from, you know, the actual features of the console. So quick resume, the backwards compatibility. But there really is, you know, those things weren't selling your consoles today. So it really has to step up, you know. Like I'm comfortable as a consumer today buying an Xbox simply due to the, you know, the optimization of the console, the things that they have currently, but most people aren't. Most people aren't, you know, because if they were already ready to buy it, they would have bought it today. So you shedding the thing that could potentially get people on your side, it does not bode well for the future state of your console. But maybe that's something that they're willing to sacrifice. I'm hoping that they do decide to put their all into their hardware. I'm hoping that they do come up with some innovative ways to make the gaming generations even longer. I want them to provide me ability to upgrade the graphics card. I want them to think outside the box, because that's what they should be thinking now that they can't rely on exclusivity. That does hurt their ability to sell. Like, you can't, you know, everybody can sell the same thing. It's like going to a bank. Everybody got a checking account. Everybody's going to have an ability to do online banking. It's very, what else do you provide? You're putting yourself in that space. So you have to start to deliver on the other services and hardware to make you to differentiate yourself. Because right now, the story is, and we're going to talk about it in a second, the Pro is the best console to buy, the most optimized console to buy, and there is the place where you can play not only PlayStation games, but also Xbox games now. So that's my take. It's my thoughts on it. I really don't have much else to say on it. I think that good for them to commit, but don't become a Sega either. I don't think that's what's going to happen. They got too much money, but it could be potentially a issue for them to kind of be able to still have that foothold in the household. Because if you don't have the household, it really is tough sometimes to kind of be beneficial, because I don't want them to start losing their ability to shape some of this stuff out here. I mean, obviously Microsoft is a huge company. They got money. They got the things to kind of make the best choices. It just seems as if this might be one of those things where they let off the gas too early. Same thing with phones. And they might not see the ripple effects of what their decision may have caused as of now. So we will see. But let's move on to the next thing I wanted to talk about, which was the Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. So a lot of report is coming out about this game being really good, being enjoyable, being fun. Before I move into why I wanted to actually bring up the Kingdom Come, did anybody play this game? Did anybody have interest in this game? Did anybody see any coverage of this game? One or two, because this is two. Honestly, never seen much about one.
Yeah, I remember seeing one when it came out. I haven't seen too much about two, but I'm familiar with it. It's more of a, not like an action RPG like Mass Effect, but not Mass Effect, I was thinking The Witcher, but it's a more realistic fantasy, not realistic, like historical fiction, but you have a lot of high quality cutscenes like you do with The Witcher. There's a lot of role playing, and it tries to have, like, I guess, more tactile feeling combat. But yeah, it looks cool. Just personally, wasn't what I was interested in when the first one came out. So the second one I've been hearing is a big improvement, but I haven't seen what ways they improved it.
Okay. Yeah, something I read an article or a comment basically saying that this game is what Bethesda would have turned into if they didn't want to go mainstream. And that turned me off immediately, because I don't even like Bethesda games, but also the fact that Bethesda games were even worse back then, or at least even more granular in that case. It just didn't sit well with me. I did watch a review, still wasn't interested. Unfortunately, it's not the type of game that I would play. Just not that type of, you know, gamer per se. The game, it isn't like it's so granular that you have to kind of give your all to it. It's just, I think that one, the game looks very beautiful. It's using an engine that most people don't use, the Cry engine, and it looks runs well. It's not using Unreal Engine. So a lot of the things are going well for it that I feel like are great. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because the PS5 Pro is actually holding on its promise to provide fidelity modes at 60 FPS. Now, as you all know me, 60 FPS is the goal. I don't need to go above it. Only time I need to go above it is in like shooters, and those have been able to hit 120 FPS on consoles for a very long time, especially the ones that are more mainstream. So I never had a need to feel as if I needed to go above 60 on like small games or AAA games or games that are more so single player or whatever. So when I saw that, obviously that's good for the purpose. That's validation for the purchase. For a lot of people, when it comes to new games coming out that are greatly optimized, that will be able to provide you fidelity modes with the higher frame rate, because on the other two consoles, the PS5 and the PS5 Pro, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, they are at 60, and then they have the fidelity at 30 FPS, and they have a much lower resolution when it comes to that 60 FPS mode that they implemented. So that's, like I said, validating what you bought and what the promise was. How many of these do you think it takes? Because right now I feel like I'm validating my purchase. I don't hate my PS5 Pro. I feel like it is giving me the best experience, and I'm glad I did not buy most of their catalog before I started to actually, I didn't buy a lot of their catalog. Like the last game I bought from them was God of War Ragnarok. And then I stopped buying their games for a very long time. Any of their single player focused AAA games, I didn't buy them. So it wasn't like it was, but at the same time, people will argue, well, what games did they put out? But just to kind of make my point, I stopped buying games from them, and it allowed me to go back to a backlog of a bunch of games that have been properly optimized for me to play in a great way on the Pro. So I never was like, oh, this thing sucks, because I always had a valid point of having it in my household. How long before this becomes useful to the masses, or becomes, it flips the script? Do you think the script will ever flip for the PS5 Pro?
And that's versus just the normal PS5?
Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, the value proposition. Yeah, I think, personally, I don't think it would happen for the masses at that price point. I think that the price point is valid for what you get, but it's still a lot of money for people who, you know, gamers don't usually like to drop that much money mid-generation. It would have to be like the PS4 generation, where the base console could barely handle the games. And I don't think we've reached that point with the PS5. Like, I know you said it runs better on the PS5 Pro.
Right.
But it does still have a 60 FPS option on the base console.
Yeah.
And for me, honestly, as long as it didn't run poorly, like most of my games didn't run poorly, I wouldn't even consider getting the Pro for me at this point. But yeah, I would say the difference between now and last gen is the base console was falling behind very quickly. Whereas I think the base PS5 still has space as long as the games are optimized. Like, that's always been the issue for me, is that unoptimized games on PS5 run terribly, which unoptimized games on PS5 Pro probably you don't have this issue with.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the same thing that was happening with Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden had the same thing. For me, I was playing Ninja Gaiden 2 Black. I'm not saying that the Xbox version didn't run great. It ran fine, ran perfectly fine, looked good while it ran it. But when you look at the PS5 Pro version, obviously it's just a higher resolution. That isn't enough for me to kind of be like, oh. But me looking at the visuals of like people's comparisons, I can clearly see a significant difference in some fidelity mode and the performance mode. And it did not just include a resolution bump. It included ray tracing. It included better, background detail, clarity, and like more. I guess it was just like when I'm looking at it, I can clearly see where the cuts were based on, and it hit that 60 FPS mode. And then you just have your fidelity mode at 30 FPS, and that 30 FPS fidelity mode looks very similar to that 60 FPS fidelity mode on the PS5 Pro. So there's a difference in my, I guess, where I gauge what the pro is really doing. Because if I'm looking at Ninja Gaiden 2 and I'm looking at Ninja Gaiden 2 on PS5 Pro, I don't really care about the difference because the difference isn't that meaningful. The difference is like very, very close and similar enough and free or Game Pass subscription based, and buying a whole new copy is always going to have the trump card there. But there is times where if maybe, for instance, the pro is getting a similar copy of the same game like Doom Dark Ages, and there is a better high resolution bump in ray tracing or whatever due to the fact that they have PSSR, because of the fact that they have better ray tracing capabilities, or maybe just better GPU. Those types of differences is where it becomes, okay, maybe I pick it up on this then, because I still know it's going to be properly optimized for both consoles. And that's really the goal. Like, I take the PC out of it simply because when I booted up Ninja Gaiden 2 on my PC, I had stutter issues. I had I had problems, and I just like, bro, I don't need this. I don't really need to go through this on the PC, even though it fixed it not that long after. It just was like, it's very, very inconvenient for me to have to deal with these types of problems, locking it to 60 FPS, looking up what's causing issues when I don't necessarily need to do it. So optimize wise is a big factor when it comes to what I'm buying my games on. And the pro being optimized on the count in the console space, reason why it's still they're still the biggest place to play games because of that optimization. I'm going to go for the one that I guess kind of has the ability to provide a better experience. And now that we may be seeing a crossover approach from Xbox, I do think that that could become the place to play console games, especially when you're getting both. You know, you don't have to worry about PlayStation, you're not being able to play a PlayStation game because you got the console, and you're not going to be worried about the Xbox games because you got the console that Xbox is sending their games to anyway. So when I talk through Kingdom Come and Deliverance, I do keep that perspective. And I'm not saying that got to change y'all opinion, but I do think it's going to change a lot of others, where it becomes a thing where if they're not doing, like I said, going back to my point about if they're not doing the right things to differentiate themselves to the point where Sony can't keep up with them anyway, it does become a problem. If you got a better machine out there today, obviously big games are coming out this year, Doom, Grand Theft Auto, Ninja Gaiden 4, all these games are still going to be coming over to that Xbox. You got Indiana Jones coming pretty soon, what that optimization looks like. So that story is going to start painting itself. I'm just trying to let you know the how many times that had to happen before that PS5 Pro becomes more enticing than the Xbox Series X.
No, I think that's valid, but I think Xbox has already lost the power narrative the first year of this generation. Like, nobody is buying the Xbox version for power. They're buying the Xbox version because they got the Xbox version, or it's on Game Pass. That's where I think it's at. I think the PS5 Pro is just mostly... So there are a lot of people that have both, but I'll put it this way. If you already have a PS5 Pro, if you already have a PS5, the battle is convincing people to upgrade to the Pro. And I think as long as they're happy with the performance on the base console, they're not going to switch. But it just depends, because I've seen a lot of games from PlayStation that are exclusive, like Rise of Ronin or Final Fantasy. They were only targeting one console and it still came out with poor performance. And other games, like directly from PlayStation, always have good performance. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's in a weird space where there are outliers that definitely run better on the Pro.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to buy a console for Doom, the Dark Ages, let's say I don't have any console, Doom Dark Ages, if I buy a PS5 discounted and Doom, I'm going to have a good experience because it's going to be optimized, it's going to run well. Or I can spend the extra couple hundred dollars to get the Pro, but it's not going to benefit for Doom. And, you know, it's not necessarily going to benefit for something else. Like, yeah, it's going to be higher resolution, but I don't think most people are buying it just for extra pixels. Like, they're going to buy it for better performance overall.
Yeah. So I think S to the Series X has a better proposition than the Pro, than the PS5 to the Pro. Absolutely. I do. I think that the Series S to the Series X is the better case and proposition for someone that's out there shopping and want to upgrade than it is going from the PS5 to the PS5 Pro. I do also understand that the Game Pass is a very highly unfavorable thing, and you get your games for a lower tier. You do get to be able to play a lot of the games, or Ninja Gaiden 4 and Ninja Gaiden 2 and Dark Ages. Like, you're buying over 5 games in a year. It's best to play it on there because you're going to save a lot more money, and you're also going to get access to a bunch of other stuff. I'm just saying that the optics of what is the best way to play this said game, and I understand that I felt like most of the time people felt like they were the same. I didn't think people felt like the PS5 was stronger than the PlayStation, than the Xbox, but maybe that was the case. Maybe that was how they felt. That stuff being like minimal differences of 1%, that's not enough. When it comes to purely just, you know, getting the experience that most people are seeking now, like 60 FPS, I think that is the true defining factor between the two. Like, if I'm going to be able to get 60 most of the time on the games I'm playing on here, I'm more than happy to do that than having to deal with VRR and not having that it's almost just good enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, that almost just good enough might get irritating for some people that can afford the change. But agreeing that the Series S having only a 30 FPS mode and then being able to boost up to where the Xbox Series X, I feel like that is the difference. And that's the biggest, that's the best case for if you're like really trying to get the value out of your money. You now have access to backwards compatibility. You have access to disc backwards compatibility and all that good jazz too. So it's just like, I do see the value there, but I also can see it from the other end of someone coming in thinking, okay, if I'm buying a PS5 now and I got these games and I want to play these games or these certain things, that value proposition might be a beneficial thing for them. And I don't want to berate the point too much, but basically the Pro is the best at this point. So I don't know. I think that is a lot to kind of chew on, and I think that they have obviously had to think of this. They already knew that the Pro was coming. They kind of didn't care. They are going to be optimizing for it now because they obviously got Indiana Jones coming soon, and they have other games they are recently announcing, like Forza and stuff like that. So they have to understand the threat of that Pro, and they have to understand the value of it. And maybe that pushes up their time clock on what their game next generation is going to look like or whatever. But it is a problem to solve, to me, at least to me. Maybe not to everybody, but I think it is a problem. Any final thoughts on that? And I promise I won't say nothing after.
Oh no. No, the Pro, like, more as more games come out, it's gonna continue to justify itself with the enhancements. You know, it's just, yeah, it depends on how many consumers need that top tier, or they're just happy to get the game at all. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, playing into that, because I wanted to talk about it as well, is the NVIDIA graphics, and basically those graphics cards being sold out. It is starting to look like, you know, it's a problem for these cards to, one, stay in stock, not have you scalped, but two, just to be able to start to see value in staying in the PC market. It is starting to it's like diminishing returns at this point. There isn't being like these strong and big upgrades to these graphics cards. They're not seeing true generation defining experiences on there any right now. It's like one or two games, and these games came out in 2020. Talking Cyberpunk, they still treating that like the flagship, and it's like that game was targeting consoles back in 2020. So it does feel like the PC is waiting for the consoles to either catch up, but at the same time, optimization is truly the key to the future. AI driven stuff, all this good jazz, blah, 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 blah. But before we get to any of that, you have to get the card in your hand. And it's really hard to do so. People are calling this launch of these new graphics cards a paper launch because there was so little of these cards out there on the market. I don't know if that's due to pending tariffs. I don't know if that's due to just supply demand. But literally, there was not that many of these cards, which tells me that they are not. I wouldn't say that they are high in demand, but it could potentially just be a fact that they don't really need to sell you more graphics cards. And that tells me there is really diminishing returns on being a PC player today. Like, there isn't really, like, you have to have, for in order for the used market to continue to thrive, you got to have new entries to come in, right? If the new entries keep coming in, they're overpriced because people are scalping them and keeping them and not really actually, you know, feeding the used market. It does become a problem where you're like, okay, well, what do I do? If I am in this position now where even like you, Josh, you can use your position if you was looking for an upgrade. If you're going from a 3080 like two generations ago to something else, or to one of these newer cards and you really can't even get one. So now you're looking at previous generation, but the previous generation is just as bad on the high end because they're even scalping those, like the really good 4080 Super. So it becomes like, again, a problem to be in the PC market. Before I continue with my next point, any thoughts, or have you seen anything that would refute my point, I suppose, or have you seen anything different? Has it been anything in regards to, or maybe your experience with the used market? What have y'all been seeing?
I think the issue is that, for me, the issue starts with NVIDIA, just because I don't think they have any incentive to mass produce the cards. Like, they obviously, right, they're making them, but they don't have to overproduce them to meet demand. Like, they're always going to sell out. They're always going to, like, have a long tail for people buying them, even multiple years after, where it's like, you know, we're on the 50 series and the people can get their hands on the 40 series, they will still pay for it. So I think the problem is NVIDIA. That's how they do their business and it works for them. And there's really no second, runner up.
Yeah.
Like the Ryzen cards, like they're not bad, but I think that the generations have split so much that, like, me as an NVIDIA user, I'm not even going to consider a Ryzen card just because I would lose so much jumping over. You know, I might gain in some areas, but I would lose in other areas. So I might as well not even bother. Mm-hmm. And so if that continues to be the trend, we're just going to see more of this from NVIDIA. The car is going to be overpriced, in which the benefit used to be that they were competitively priced, but now they're overpriced. The performance is speculative.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's there, really, but it's speculative. Yeah. Not
that really good. Yeah.
And you can't get your hands on it. So that's going to be an issue for a while until the gulf between Ryzen cards and NVIDIA changes. So unfortunately, I wouldn't consider a 50 series card because I don't like what it's doing. Like, technology wise, but also, like, yeah, it's going to be a struggle to even get one. So if I were ever needed to upgrade my car, there was some sort of issue, something broke, I was just trying my best to get a 40 series. Because if at a cheaper price point, I can get it, it would still offer a huge leap over what I have now while not overspending for the 50 series. So yeah, and with NVIDIA, they make so many cards that we're gonna get some new cards next year, probably. You know, it's not that big of a deal for I guess people not to be able to get it, but yeah, they're always gonna sell out just because NVIDIA doesn't make enough.
Yeah, I think they tagged on to that Jordan approach, but that does cause an issue for, like I said, the
user. Oh, sorry. One more thing that I forgot to bring up is that NVIDIA's third-party manufacturer relationships over the last two generation releases has been worse. Because like there are a lot of companies that used to have their own, because like if y'all don't know, for graphics cards, there's always the like Founders Edition that's made by NVIDIA. It's got NVIDIA branding on it. Those come out usually first, and they're usually the pre-order ones. But there are also other companies that offer different versions of the graphics card. Maybe they got more RAM, maybe they got more RGB lights or whatever. But there are other companies that make their own version. The prices might be a little bit higher, but you get a better card or a card that's more specialized what you're looking for. But there have been a lot less of those companies making those cards because, one, the partnerships with NVIDIA haven't been as good. Like the margin that they can make money off of hasn't been as great. Or like one company that used to make a lot, EVGA, like they said that they're two reasons they're going to stop making NVIDIA cards is, one, the profit margin isn't there. And two, it's they're not able to guarantee to their customers that they can get a card without supply issues because they have to go through NVIDIA in the first place. And NVIDIA, I guess, has no remedy for those third-party manufacturers to avoid the demand. You know, if they sell out day one, they got to call NVIDIA, hey, we need a million more. It's like, okay, we got you in 8 months. you know, and that's not, that doesn't work for third-party companies. So I think NVIDIA, for me, is the root cause of like this issue for graphics card degeneration.
Yeah, I guess being, competition is needed. You can't have a conglomerate. And I think that that is really the bigger problem here is that AMD cards are now even being sourced and like scalped because the higher end, at least the most recent one, the 7900 XTX, what I got in my machine, is being price hiked as well. It wasn't like that before. It's now in the 1600 range when that card was selling for 800 not too long ago, because of how crazy it's become to get some of these NVIDIA cards. So I do think their approach and not mass producing them and not actually providing enough is a problematic, because it does create a pent up demand that kind of trickles out to the rest of the market in a bad way. So I do not like that approach. I don't think that this is the greatest way to kind of make sure your cards sell well. And I know that that's maybe not the case for what they're trying to do or the approach they're trying to take. It could be just, like I said, supply issues. But at the same time, you're supposed to know how the demand is supposed to. You're supposed to look at those trends. You're not supposed to just wing it and, like I said, do a paper launch. So they definitely need to be held accountable for what they're kind of necessary, what they're doing to the market. But to me, This is a great opportunity for AMD to provide, and I understand that most of these cards are on the higher end. Most people don't even use these type of cards. Most people use the lower end cards, like the 5070, and the ones that are not even that 7900 XT. I believe it's like even lower than that. But there's the level of, you know, card that is being used. But what that does to me, what that tells me, is that there is truly value in these consoles, and especially a pro version, because like you're really close to some of these experience. Obviously, they're being optimized for consoles anyway. They're the bigger market. So when I hear people get upset about like maybe the cost of a pro, I understand it at times because you could do a lot more with a PC. But man, is it not becoming tougher and tougher to even get to a level pass of what a PS5 can produce or a PS5 Pro can produce without having to shell out an arm and a leg? Like, there's a reason why it's like nobody could say you can build your own PS5 yet, because it is difficult for the cost, especially with the optimization portion of it. I just feel like there's no amount of money you can spend to make sure that your games are optimized at the level of consoles. Now, granted, that has been dwindling over the last couple of years, with games not coming out and being in a proper state. But I still would take my chances more right now on the console than I ever would on a PC day one. You saw what happened with Spider-Man 2. I just feel like, I don't know if they're intentionally trying to drag the PC like that, like make it worse, make it seem like it's worse than it is. But the marketing is beautiful. They can do that. They can definitely not do well on their ports and then make it feel like there is no real reason to want to play their games on this, on the PC. And the problem isn't that it's just like console games being ported over. It's most games that's being on this console, on these things. Like sometimes they just don't work well. And that's the problem. That sometimes they have stutter and they just don't work that great. And it's a problem. So to me, this does nothing but validate more that maybe there is a combination approach to all of this. And the value of having the ability to cross progression and pick and choose where you want to play, because it just forces these companies to do better. Like games, companies that make games, companies that make hardware, software, driver support. I feel like it just all makes it, if you got choice and you're not just pigeonholed into a certain like company, and you don't feel like you just have that mandate of being stuck on something, I just feel like it's so much more better for the consumer than it could ever be for these companies. Like these companies are doing the things they want to do because they can get away with it. I seen even someone talking about how gen over gen, they just keep diminishing returns on these graphics cards to the point where we were so upset with the last gen and how they tried to initially do the, I think they tried to name the 4070 or 4080 or something like that. I don't remember exactly what happened, but basically they had to pull it off the shelves. They basically didn't launch it and they had to come back with something better. And they did do that, but then they did the same thing this time and nobody cared because of all these, you know, AI enhancements, all this blase blase, and they dropped the price a couple hundred. Like that tells me that they know that they can get away with it, or at least they can, you know, manipulate their approach to get away with it. So I really just think we need to hold them accountable. That's really what my point is with this message, is kind of like holding NVIDIA responsible for what they're kind of, what they're doing to the PC market. Because yeah, is it helping everything else look better? Yes. But at the same time, the reason why they're thinking that they can do this stuff is because they can get away with it. They have a monopoly on like the higher end right now, and the competition is becoming worse and worse. So that's where it feels as if we need to kind of like, there's something there needs to be some type of intervention here. I'm not sure what that is, but it doesn't feel great where the path we're going down. But that's pretty much what I wanted to say on that topic. Is there anything to add before we move on the graphics cards, Josh?
The only other thing is that also I think that with PCs, the generations are not as clear, because like new cards for like NVIDIA will come out every two, three years or so. But that's not necessarily, I guess, the upgrade path that most people will take. Like they maybe they'll hold onto the card for like 6 or 7, depending on how good the card is or something like that. But yeah, I think that these launches are not good. But I wonder on NVIDIA's side, what's their upgrade path that internally they expect people to take? Because like you said, most people are not going to buy these cards day one. Is this bad press now, early prep for, you know, 3 years down the line, where in the 60 series has a bad launch, so now everybody's buying the 50 series? I'm curious of how they plan this stuff out long term.
It seemed like they just waiting for the parts to get cheaper, and then they'll just add more supply. Like I could see them going back to, but that doesn't, you know, like maybe they go back and redo some 4090s right now, but they got the 5070s out there, but they don't really want to sell those.
Well, they could always, like take some old cars, rename it.
Yeah. And that's what I feel like they did with that 50, with the 5080, because it's such similar that all they did was add more AI stuff. But at the same time, like I'm talking about rasterized performance, I'm talking about this, the base performance. But they're not even trying to sell them, so it has to be some different play. That's what to me I feel like it's just like they playing their little games, and we along for the ride. So, but okay, that's where we want to wrap that one up, and let's move on to our next topic. Next thing I wanted to talk about was the Fantastic Four Deliverance. Fantastic Four. What was the name of it? Shoot.
New
trailer. I forget the name of like the other tag.
First year or something like that?
Yes. First steps. First steps. Okay. Let's talk about that, because I thought it was cool. I ain't gonna lie. That was cool. I didn't expect them to kind of use a time that like to place it in like a different time. The way that it looks is kind of given like 70s and probably a little bit earlier than that, 60s vibes. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was cool. I didn't know Pedro Pascal was playing Reed Richards. I had no idea. I didn't know anything about this. All I know is I watched a trailer and I was immediately intrigued with some of the stuff that they were showing. But before I go into my little breakdown or stuff I'm looking at and reading, what are your thoughts? Or if y'all did see it, what's your thoughts on this Fantastic Four trailer? I think it dropped today.
Yeah, they teased it yesterday, I think, and it came out today. I knew that stuff because they kind of been talking about it for a while, ever since, you know, they got rid of King the Conqueror. They've been talking all about their next steps, which is Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom.
Yep.
I knew about the casting. Everybody looks fine. I think Pedro Pascal is just a good actor in general, so I didn't have any doubts. But yeah, I personally don't picture him as Reed Richards, but I'm sold on the actor, so I'll just, you know, I'll deal with it because I think
he'll do it regardless. Kind of like what they did Doom with they're doing Mr. Doom with what's it, Robert Downey
Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, like come on, man.
Yeah, but overall the trailer looked good. It's a more classic period piece, like you said, maybe like the 50s or 60s or something like that. I don't know. More of a reference to the character's original style, because they want to go back to the original Fantastic Four. And also, it's a weird thing where this is also the merger between, was it Fox and Disney? Because back when they bought Fox a couple years ago, they got the Fantastic Four back.
Oh, okay.
But the MCU had already been going at that point, because if you remember the Michael B. Jordan Fantastic Four movie, that came out in like 2014 or something like that.
Yeah.
That came out after Iron Man. And in the Marvel world, technically the Fantastic Four are as popular as the Avengers, or at least like science-wise, they're as important as Tony Stark. And so for them to never exist in the Marvel MCU is kind of weird. So kind of what they're doing now is that this is either a different time or something happened in the past or something like that to try to merge them into the stories that we already seen, because like these characters should have already been here because they're in New York, you know, right across the street from Tony Stark type stuff.
Gotcha.
So it'll be interesting to see how they're trying to merge this in, and I think that's part of the reason why they're going with a different time overall visual appeal to it looks very different, because they're going to try to merge it in somehow. Mm-hmm. And then they tease Galactus at the end. Galactus, for me, I guess, is the only weird part that I'm not that hype about, just because Galactus is a very, very weird character, in the sense that he's a man, right? Mm-hmm. But he gets giant, and not just giant like Ant-Man, like giant to where he can swallow the Earth, like that big. And so we haven't seen a character, I guess, in the Marvel movies that is that out there as far as like their abilities and stuff like that. I don't know if they're going to make him that big in this first movie, but he's one of their next, I guess, Thanos level villains type thing, where his whole thing is he's going to eat all the planets. So, you know, you got to stop him. That's the only part I guess I'm a little nervous about, because they can mess it up easily. Because in the last, they did Galactus before in one of the old Fantastic Four movies, and he sucked. So, yeah, that they got to do it right.
Well, I mean, I mean that makes sense, and I feel like the image of him being just as big as this Statue of Liberty, or at least a little bit bigger, at least that's his head anyway. Maybe they did shorten him. Maybe they did make him smaller. I don't know anything about Galactus. Obviously, well,
he can change his size to all types of things. Okay. Can be any size. So I what I'm saying is I think that maybe for this first movie they will limit his size to something like, yeah, tall as a building. But maybe in the future, you know, I don't know if you saw Eternals, but like in Eternals they were showing like,
oh yeah, the big guy that was stuck in the water.
Yeah, so that's not Galactus, but like, yeah, that type of size or bigger. Mm. Like Galactus is bigger.
Gotcha.
If you watched What If season one, they kind of did the same thing with Ultron, kind of turned him into Galactus for a little bit. But anyways, that's the only part that they could mess up, because he could be just kind of like this weird giant thing. But overall, the movie looks interesting.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, for me, I was just going to break down what the characters are, what they do, and if nobody was aware of who these people were. But, you know, Mr. Fantastic, he's obviously the smartest person in the Marvel Universe. At least he's supposed to be the smartest person in the Marvel Universe. Invisible Woman, Sue Storm. She's played by Vanessa Kirby. I don't ever heard of this actress, to be honest.
Yeah, me either.
Joseph Quinn, I have heard of him. He's playing Johnny Storm. Which is obviously Human Torch. He can turn into flames with his flame on. Did he say flame on? I think he did say
flame on. Not in the trailer. But he said flame on, but not in the trailer yet.
Oh, okay. Then we had The Thing. That's playing by... I never heard this guy either. Ebon Moss Bachrich. Is that the guy that plays in Black Panther? No. I don't know who this is.
So he's in The Bear. I haven't seen The Bear, but he's one of the characters in The Bear. He was also in Andor, like when that came out. But generally just a pretty
good, I know who this actor. Guy is. Yeah. I know who this guy is. Okay. Well, good. I mean, more shine. These definitely feel like picks to keep the budget low. I'm not saying that they were bad picks, but Pedro obviously has a better esteem. But the rest of them feel like they were like, we want y'all around for a while. We're going to make sure y'all stay around for a while. We're going to give y'all a big Mac budget, but we're going to make sure y'all not known names now, which is cool.
Well, I think they all got some sort of like Academy Awards. At least the guy from The Bear does. I'm not familiar with Johnny Storm actor.
But you feel like they have movie presence? All right, because when I looked at his, it just seemed like I don't know who Vanessa Kirby is. So maybe I'm not doing them justice, but it seemed to me like these are individuals that may have had good, you know, positions before, like almost a Robbie Downey Jr. type situation where they like sign you on for a bunch of movies, but you are a well-established actor at this point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so they're not, you know, the tip-top A-list actors, but I think that they are still... What I mean specifically is that they've got some sort of Academy Awards that got them on the list for Disney, and then Disney sweeping in like, hey, I know you're up and coming. We saw you get a couple awards last year. We want to sign you for a 10-year deal with Marvel and, you know, help your career keep growing, that type of thing. Not just random people that they picked up off the street, but people who've shown like, yeah, you've got some strengths. You got a bunch of Academy Awards. We want that talent and to sign you with us. Because I just looked up the girl. Like, she's been in Napoleon, Mission Impossible, Fast and the Furious. Like, I'm not familiar with her, but like those are big franchises, so I wouldn't say that she's a like nobody.
Okay. That's cool. That's understandable. That's fair. They got obviously this robot called Herbie, which is a humanoid experimental robot B type, integrated electronics. I think that's what this Herbie stands for. But they also had the Fantastic Carsh make an appearance. And they had just, you know, I guess this all happened when they were, I have no, like, it's bad, but it's not that I have no experience with this, like, their story, how they got their powers or whatever. It's cool because that gives me a better experience when I go in and I check it out. But obviously,
y'all haven't seen the old one?
I seen it, but I don't remember it, you know.
Oh, okay.
One of those things. But yeah, okay. I thought it looked good, though. To me, it looked
good. Yeah, overall, it looks interesting, because personally, I'm not that big of a fan of the Fantastic Four, like, individual mm-hmm. characters. Like, I was surprised when they brought them to Marvel Rivals, and they're actually fun. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hopefully they make their movie portrayals interesting. Because my issue with, like, the old movies is, yeah, the movies were also not that great. But, you know, Johnny Storm, he's interesting. Mr. Fantastic, he's kind of weird. Susan Storm, she kind of just is invisible for most of the movie, or, like, trying to put up barriers. And then the Thing, he never really gets shine, because, like, he's strong and he can, like, fight the Hulk. But in the movies, he's never really got any ability to, like, show off, you know. So hopefully they make them all, like, cool, so we care about them in the future.
How many, was it only one Fantastic Four movie, or was it two of them? I feel like there was one as a Silver Surfer.
It's three Fantastic Four movies. It was the first one that came out, and they fought Dr. Doom. And I forget the actor. He was a popular TV actor at the time, but he was pretty good. Overall, it was all right. That was like early 2000s. Then they did the Silver Surfer movie that Jalen mentioned. That one kind of sucked, and Galactus was in there. He wasn't a man. He was a cloud, and so they kind of like fought a cloud. And then they did the reboot with Michael B. Jordan, where he was Johnny Storm, and people was mad because, like, why he black, how he related to them and stuff like that. He was in it, end up being one of them was adopted or something like that. But anyways, that movie sucked because it just wasn't good. And so now this is the fourth Fantastic Four movie in our lifetime, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jessica Alba being old girl was definitely an interesting choice. I don't even know how these people originally looked. All I can remember is the people that played them the first time. And that was with the Thing and everything, and then the Silver Surfer movie, blase. But to me, this one looks like a lot better in regards to just depiction and understanding the source material, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think them going for the original, like, style helps instead of
the feel of it and, like, nostalgic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to translate it into modern, like, style, and they got, you know, modern clothes, just Fantastic Four, it's going back to, like, a classic style, and that kind of works. Kind of, I guess, what James Gunn wants to do with Superman, where it's going for a more classic look, so it feels different and completely different from, like, Zack Snyder stuff.
Yeah, I think we're starting to disassociate with the movies because we feel as if they're not as out there as they used to be, because now a Marvel movie or a movie about these superheroes are very common. So a change in the formula and going back to an historic or more different time, making Marvel superhero movies period pieces might be the move, might actually be the next wave. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it worked for Loki, so
it worked for WandaVision.
Oh yeah,
so. Yeah. I think that those are great things, and we're looking forward to seeing it. For sure. So, okay. That was Definitely a good to see. Let's move on to our next topic here, which is going to be the Elden Ring Nightreign beta. Are we looking forward to this? I want to ask that first. Are we looking forward to it?
Jalen, are you looking forward to more Elden Ring?
I seem like an interesting, you know what I'm saying, buy. So, man, I'm going to see what it got to offer and maybe I'll pick it up. So.
Personally, I'll say I'm not like out looking for or on forums or researching it, but I'm going to buy it day one when it comes out because it's a From Software game and I like Elden Ring. So I don't really got nothing bad to say about it. I guess I'm more just worried about how they're going to handle the multiplayer. It's a multiplayer focused game. So what type of hoops y'all going to make me jump through to play multiplayer? Or is it going to be super easy? If it's super easy, I think the game will be great. Just Elden Ring with your friends, which is kind of what we wanted from day one.
Frenzy ranks.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, if not, and it's a bunch of hoops, you know, it just depends. But I think it's not full price as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it personally. What were you going to say, Deontay?
My thoughts is that it's not a single player game. You have to have friends. And... No, it says it does support single player.
So well, you can play by yourself, but it's like, I guess, doing a Destiny Nightfall by yourself. Like, it's going to be easier because the damage is lower, but also it's not as fun when you have to do Nightfall by yourself, unless you're doing some sort of weird build type thing.
Okay. Because what I wanted to do with this, I thought, like, maybe I can make some boss guides to this or something. And then I was thinking, like, it's odd. It's all like what's the name though? It's all random.
You can do solo guides.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I didn't realize that it supported single player. Honestly, I thought that you had to have a co-op, like, or you had to have some type of, maybe they had computer PC, like, you know, AI that will join.
No, what they've said so far, only two things: you can play it single player or three player. That's it. You can't do two. I don't know how it's going to do, like, if somebody disconnects, you all might just be screwed, but it seems like you can queue up for single player or you can queue up for three player and that's it.
Okay. Have y'all heard anything new about this? That's it? Or is that really what y'all know?
I haven't about it. Yeah, that's all I know. I haven't been looking because, Bandai Namco is super secretive with like betas and stuff. But I guess if you go to the Elden Ring forum, there's probably a whole bunch of information out there about the game. I just haven't looked it up.
Yeah, it's the network test. Were you going to say something, Jalen?
Nah, I just saying the same thing as Jess. I mean, that's all I know about the game. So.
Yeah. So they do have the network test. If you guys weren't aware, this one's happening. The earliest is on Valentine's Day, the 14th at 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific time. And then we got a session 2 on Valentine's Day, which I don't know why they did the drop of the first one on Valentine's Day. It's going to be a lot of upset ladies out there. 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time. And then session 3 is February 15th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time. And then session 4 is February 16th, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific time. Then session 5. February 16th, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time. So we have a little bit more.
Have you ever got bad. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we're going to have a lot more coming soon in regards to like stuff about this game because hopefully people are going to be able to share their, you know, their footage. But go ahead.
No, I was going to ask y'all, have y'all ever got into a From Software beta? Because they're not easy to get into.
No,
I
haven't gotten to one.
Didn't you get into the Dark Souls 2 alpha or network test?
I was able to download it because usually what they do is like, yeah, they'll send you an email, they'll let you download the client on your console, but the actual spaces and during that time that they don't advertise is, let's say you show up for Valentine's Day, they only got 1,000 spaces available online at the same time. So 10,000 people download it. Only 1,000 people can play during 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So you got to hope that you stay in the queue, somebody going to get off, and then you get to get put in the game. But anytime I've ever downloaded a From Software beta, it's been like that, where I got the beta, I'm waiting in queue, the time ran out, and you already know it's the middle of the night because they're trying to do it at some weird time. And so I never got to play it. But it'd be stuff on there where people fight and they don't want to show you the boss, so they make the boss invisible. You get to see his move, but you only get to see what he looked like.
Really?
It's just super secretive. Yeah, that's what they did in Bloodborne. Father Gascoigne, I think. No, it was the Bloodstar Beast. No, Cleric Beast. On the bridge, you fight the big wolf thing. In the beta, they made him a secret boss, and he was invisible. You can still fight him, and you can still beat him if you was good enough, but he was invisible because they didn't want you to see what he looked like.
Oh, wow. Okay. So these network tests are really just for networking. They don't really want you to try anything out, but it's a beta.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they literally super secretive about everything going on.
But
that's why I was surprised that it was coming so soon.
But these are like rinse repeated bosses, right? Or are they new ones? I thought they was all rinse repeated.
There are new bosses. There are Elden Ring bosses, and there are Dark Souls bosses. So some of the bosses are old. They might have had to update them to new mechanics or something like that, so you got to test them out. The Elden Ring bosses should be pretty normal, just recycle. But there are new bosses. Like, they showed off that three-headed dog thing that's like one of the third-day bosses or something like that.
Okay.
Fusion Souls,
that's what it is. They just was like, we got some assets laying around. They did that Ubisoft. They said, man, we got plenty of these that's laying around. Well, they've been doing that for a while, so never mind. I think Ubisoft might have bit off of them. But we got a couple of these. We got a couple of these dogs that chew your head off. We can put those right on here. Those stanky pigeons. Those dirty crows. Oh yeah, not the pigeons. Favorite. It was crows. it was no leg crows. Yeah, they loved
no crows and a mosquito crawler tankies. Some of your favorites, man.
then they gave the crow some blade legs. I was like, bro, I hate fighting these things. But yeah, that game was good.
Hey, you got some of them. Pass them over here, bro. Yeah, I still got some of them on deck. Let me slide you some. I got some coming your way, my boy.
Yeah.
Slide me some of them old assets, boy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm not like hating on the game. Honestly, I'm just like, I'm now at the point where I'm just like, okay, I'm waiting on it to come out. Once it come out, I give it a fair shake, but. Right now, I just don't know enough, and nor do more Elden Ring seem like super, super, super enticing to me at this point. I'm not saying that it fell off the radar, because I literally beat Elden Ring and I beat the DLC. I guess I'm just more so like, how many times can they do this? And like, I hope the mechanics that they're introducing is really, really fun, because that's what I really want to see, some innovation on that portion. So, and I think that's cool what they're trying to do, but they've never been good at networks. And like, I remember when I was playing with Jalen a little bit on, I think it was either PC, maybe it was just our regular, our PlayStation, but that man was teleporting around my screen. So I'm hoping that this does, you know, help with their ability to kind of do good networking, because they never have done well with that. But anyways, let's move on here. Oh, before I move on, anything to add to that?
Nope. Like I said, I'll probably get it, but I want to see more, a little bit more about like the how the multiplayer works. So hopefully we get some information after this beta.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to my man's Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis. This will be the last topic for today. Anything? Well, let's wait right here. Jalen, what have you heard about this Luka Doncic Anthony Davis trade?
Honestly, I ain't really looking into it too much. I was kind of looking at like a lot of the headlines and a couple of things, or a couple of the headlines, some of the discussions online, and talking to some people in person. I mean, it was just super unexpected. I just didn't see the purpose for the trade. I almost felt like the Mavericks is losing in this trade. They talked about the GM. He's basically a moron. He does a lot of bad things, and this trade just it disrupted the NBA. I mean, even just from like a personal standpoint, I mean, it sounded like Doncic was pretty distraught about things. It caught a lot of people by surprise. They even had little jokes and stuff going around, like, you know, Kevin Durant on a bench and he on his phone and, you know, in the game, everybody just like, hold on, like, what's going on? So a lot of people thought it was fake. I thought it was fake too. Me and my friends did, but I mean, it's real stuff. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how this actually like pans out. But I do think the Mavericks would be in a more worse position, especially this season. So I got to see how things pan out with them, because I think they was pretty high up as far as like they standing for the Western Conference.
Okay. Well, you know me, I'm here for the drama. I guess I'd be thinking about the blowback of what this actually means for the Lakers, but really the drama. What caused them to send him over for Anthony Davis? Like, this is a weaker trade in my opinion. This does not solve the star building around a star problem that they just kind of created, with maybe potentially getting an all-star or, you know, number one draft pick down the line. To do that for a 25-year-old that has provided a way for you to get to the finals last year, doesn't that seem a little weird? It doesn't make sense to me. So when I started to dig, they started to kind of bring up a little bit more information about it. But all of it's speculative. There's nothing that's really actually going to providing like any new, like real new information outside of the fact that nobody knew about it. And when nobody knows about it and nobody shopped it, like nobody shopped around for what they can get for Luka Doncic, which seems very weird, no? Like, he's almost like top five player in the league right now. They didn't shop him around at all. If they were really trying to get rid of him, right, wouldn't you think that they would actually try to get other people to bid?
I mean, yeah, in my head, that's what would happen. I mean, it'd be speculation. They're trying to see what they can get, if they're trying to free up some caps, but, you know, just whatever it might be. But I mean,
but no, this was a Laker, and they reached out to the Lakers. It just, and not only just reached out to the Lakers, they reached out to Davis, that kind of always has some form of injuries, you know, and he's 35. He's 10 years older than Luka. And I'm saying that he's not a dominant big man. I'm just saying that there is big man out there. So, I don't know. Yeah, it just seems weird. Seems as if it can be some inner workings going on here. can be some. It just doesn't feel right. It just seems as if this was a rushed thing. This was something that they needed to get done quickly. And the only thing that I can think of is if maybe somebody did something wrong, said something wrong, that this could potentially be some weird blowback in the future. Because I'm not buying the fact that they said that we just didn't feel like he was the player to build a team around, and we wanted to get rid of him because he was a little overweight. That don't make no sense. That's their statement. Their statement was that.
I think some of that is true. I mean, if you watch him play, like, he's a... I don't know, man. I ain't believe it's going to win with him, bro. He is...
You didn't believe in Luka?
No, nah, I mean, he's good, but he's a defensive liability. He's slow and he's ball dominant. He's not going to be somebody that you get the ball to and they're going to make a decisive play within, you know, 10 seconds. Or he can shoot good, and I mean, he can probably take those shots and stuff, but Luka's going to need some time to set up his shot. He's not going to just come down the court, woo, woo. Prime example, like, all right, what T-Mac did back against the Spurs? It was like 11 and 3 seconds or something. Luka's not going to do that. Like, yeah. You're not going to get that from him. So when I was watching the finals and stuff, see, I'm like, hey, he need to put up a bucket. Like, right, hold on, I got to set up. And which is cool. He can play in his own rhythm, which is a talent itself. But again, that style of play, it's not going to, you got to be able to change speeds and speed up and know when to slow down and things like that. When it's a crunch time and you still playing at that same pace, it might not work. And I'm not going to say that, like, he does that 100% of the time, but every time I see him play, and I don't watch it too frequently, it's the same thing. I adore that he can play at his pace, but when it comes time crunch time, hey, we need to put the ball in the cup. Like, it's not gonna happen as efficiently. So anytime I watch the Mavericks and I know they're down and they need something decisive, he's not the person that they're gonna, or he wouldn't be the ideal person. But I'm not saying that's not to disprove your point, but that's just to say that, you know, that could be another aspect of it, whether it's masked or whether it's the main point or not. So,
yeah. Well, oh man, I ain't even get your take. Nah, I feel like, that's very true. I feel like there could be multiple things. To me, not shop around tells me that there is something else. There is something that maybe the Lakers know, or maybe the Lakers are okay with taking on, that maybe the Dallas wanted to reach out in regards to. I don't know why it was the Laker deal. Like, it doesn't make sense that you could probably get a lot of things for Luka Doncic right now. He's a top five player. I don't think that they put Anthony Davis in that same category right now. So I would be shopping around Anthony Edwards. Like, if I'm thinking of, like, oh, what do I want to do? Maybe somebody that's a little bit more dominant. Maybe somebody that's really positioned to succeed. Maybe not happy right now. Obviously, I wouldn't be trading them for no Jimmy Butler. But I'm thinking of to people that I could potentially get that would be more, you know, sufficient for my needs at this point in time. And I don't know if it's big man. And AD is the goal. Same thing happened with the Timberwolves when they traded off Cat. And I just felt like that was a bad move too. I just felt like it was a lot of these weird moves happening lately, but this was the biggest weird one. And it felt like it was more collusion between the Lakers and something happening. Maybe they didn't want to pay him this money that he's going to get but it just doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. So it's a lot of rumors going around. But what I can say...
he sells seats. He for sure is going to sell more seats than 80, so...
Yeah. It just seems like it's a weird time to be a basketball fan, just for sure. I did want to throw in one last topic, because I forgot all about it. But how you feel, man? You know multiverse. you want me to pull out a number for him, man? How you feeling about that multiverses? Because I for sure forgot about it. But I need to make sure I get the top 500 Finn to tell me how he truly feel about that time wasted on that multiverse. You remember my stupid statement? I said they gonna be bigger than what? Bigger as what?
Bigger than who?
They hit me with the Drake.
Bigger than like, what? It's bigger than what?
I was like, not this. That those words coming back to haunt me, bro.
It's bigger though.
But talk to me. If y'all don't know, y'all go back to the old podcast. I said multiverses twice. I said this. Multiverses could, if they did, have as much pool or at least get as big as Smash. Not true. Should never said it. But I think they I think they messed up their own formula, to be honest. And so it's not. I take the L, but I feel like they accelerated it a lot. So, but talk to me, Jalen. Talk to me, man. What? How you feeling, man? Retired? Gone too soon? Is it a gone too soon situation? Forcefully retired? How you feeling, man?
Nah, that game was also trash anyway. I can't even lie to you. That's why, as of lately, when I was playing, I found out this retired. I was like, shoot, good riddance. Hey, I got a parasitic. I got a toxic relationship with that game, bro. It'd be fun to play it because it's funny to play. But I know the game trash, bro. And I be complaining. I'm like, man, this game weak, bro. This game trash. I don't even know why I play this nonsense. Like, the game don't even work right, bro. Like, look at this. Like, how did that hit me? What it, and then, I'm not talking about, man, you know, people be like, bro, how did that hit me? This and a third. I'm talking about stupid stuff happening like Call of Duty where you get shot behind a wall. I'm like, bro, the game isn't functioning properly, bro. Like, I just swung and hit, bro, and it ain't connect. What is going on
here? Right.
It'd be a lot of more. So I'm like, what's going on here, bro? Like, so, I mean, I don't really care. Like I said, man, that game will give you an aneurysm. So if they're not helping the game and fixing it and stuff like that, I don't need to take no more of my time, and it can just go bye-bye. Yeah. It ain't like I'm gaining nothing from it. It's people that play that game way too hard, like other games, and they try way too hard in that game, bro. So they can take that game away, and hopefully people will stop messaging me about, get good, bro. I'm like, bro, relax, man. Relax. You really pulled up your app to come find me on a different platform. Yeah. Just so you can send me a message. Like, relax, bro. It's okay.
Man, you still gonna play it to the end? You know you can play it on offline mode. You gonna play it up to the end?
Heck no. I'm playing offline mode on that game, bro. I play a little bit of it. I keep playing it a little bit, but I mean, I ain't. Like I said, it's a funny game where me and my friend, you know, can fellowship on it and stuff and just laugh, but it ain't like, hey, man, I'm mad. Multiverse is gone. I'm like, man, get rid of that game. I'm going to take care of it, bro. Y'all need No Child Left Behind, bro. What you talking about?
Man, are we now back at the point of trying to put some pressure on Smash to do the right thing and get some good net code? Is that where we at?
We gave up on that dream way back. Back in when Ultimate came out, they still ain't do a range line.
Oh my god,
man! Well, they partner with Nvidia. They're gonna give us some multi-frame network generation.
Yeah, they're gonna be able to do some rollback with the multi-frames or something, man.
Nintendo ain't gonna do it, but Nvidia got you. But
yes, sir.
Oh boy, boy!
Autumn frames coming in hot. Yeah, man, I was so like, dang, I was like, man, especially when you put time into something, but it's at the same time, you just having fun. It wasn't like that big deal, but it's still like one of those things like, bro, how y'all.
I ain't put no cheese in it. So.
I know. Ooh. That's good. Cause, everybody that bought them Founders Editions cooked. Everybody that bought the extra beta, whatever cooked. All your little stuff that you bought for that game gone. They can't afford to run the servers, or it's not making enough money to keep the people on payroll. That's the problem. Like, dang. And it's kind of crazy because the concept of it is really good. It's just, I felt like maybe, nah, because free is what made people want to play it. So I don't really know how they could have.
It had a lot of issues. Like, they lost momentum with the first beta. Then they took it offline. It came back and it still had issues. And so it lost its audience by, I guess, not really capitalizing on the beta popularity. And it's also WB. And WB is in dire straits for money. And anything that's not positive right away, they gonna pull the plug on it. So it's a lot of factors, but I'd say mostly it's their fault. Like, it's a it was the number one game when it came out, and it won like fighting game of the year.
Yep.
At the Game Awards.
Not that long ago.
The hype was there. It's just they weren't ready for it, and that hurt them in the end. Because it's not like they got competition. It's just if people wanted that style of game, they would have stuck with it. But they weren't able to keep that audience, and that's all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, definitely.
It was trash.
Definitely.
definitely. At least when it came back, I didn't like how it felt. So I keep playing it.
Yeah, definitely gone too soon. We're going to miss those Scooby, Shaggy sandwiches and those boot kicks. We're going to miss them. That Wonder Woman OP-ness, that Bon Voyage shield. It's a lot of stuff that came through there. The Banana Guard with his impeccable timing to be able to just run across the stage and get you up out of here. It was definitely some arcs of playing that game, but you know, it is what it is. When your parent company ain't got the bands or the bandwidth, sometimes you gotta go, man. So,
I told Ben to make her dance, bro. And they got the band, bro. No way.
For sure.
Like they dope.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it. I ain't had nothing else. I want to thank you guys for listening as always. If you got to this part, you're the real OG. We'll be back next week with more topics, more things to discuss, more updates on the life. But it is what it is. This is the House of Wolf podcast. And thank you for listening as always. See you next week. Peace.